We'll call the meeting to order. It's the Communications Technology Committee meeting, July 9th, 2020. Time is 8:30. Comments from the public, anybody?
I'm gonna go ahead and mute everybody. And if you wanna speak, then if you could please raise your hand, I'll keep my eye on it. Except
not me, Amelia. I can't raise my hand.
Linda, I leave you on all the time.
I didn't hear any of that.
Also, I will leave John on all the time because he didn't have things to say to us.
Okay. Were there any comments from the public? Okay, we'll move on to item 3, the monthly website and social media update. Who does that?
That's me.
Okay.
So on, the first thing we're looking at is our Google Analytics. So this is our website. Just like always, employment opportunities are our number one hit for our webpage. And this month, COVID mobile alert was the number two. What hit? Number one is just people that just look at the webpage for 1771, and then employment opportunities, Code Red mobile alert. So that's a huge uptick in Code Red. These are the states that look at us most frequently. No big surprises here. California coming in well above everyone else. Looks like we spike on July 11th. No, I'm sorry, June 11th. This is our Facebook webpage. We had less page views altogether last month than the previous month. But we had a lot the previous month because of COVID, lots of things happening with UI. Any questions?
No. So I guess we can move on to item 4, discuss pipeline and website communication plan and how to bring the two together.
Linda was going to speak to that.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to start with just a couple of comments. I think our pipeline is looking good, but I would like to see a little bit of almost a template format so that there are some things we do every month to keep the population and the residents updated. And I'm just wondering if there's some way that we could work through a setup type of thing. And then of course I always have things that I would like to see go out to the community, and how we can like coordinate with that with whatever information is on the website. And there may, I was looking at the development information, which is fantastic, but it doesn't really say anything about where, about what's happening other than the map right now. So maybe the pipeline could pick up on that and say, basically, you know, what the three developments are, what's happening with the three developments, et cetera, on a regular basis in the pipeline. And that goes for updating people on what happened in the meetings. Sometimes some things are gonna be more important than other things. For instance, at budget time, people wanna know about what's going on with that. So that would be, a headliner, I guess you could call it. And I'm not exactly sure how to go about this, but I would like to work with somebody, or maybe Amelia could help us out, and we could come up with a little outline for how we can bring these kinds of things together.
Yes, let's meet offline. I take care of the pipeline, and I will be happy to do whatever.
Linda, this is
well, Tom, how do you feel about it? Hello?
Linda, this is Tom. You mentioned at one point in time you want us to have a general project update, like the stuff that Paul is working on or the projects Jeff might be working on. Is that also what you're talking about?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So how would we go about that, Tom?
Well, it's as simple as you said, you know, just work with Amelia, and then I think we select a section of the pipeline where it consistently is there.
Okay.
And then, take a look back at the committee meeting, some of the more discussed items, and highlight
those. Exactly.
And then Paul's got a big project going on with the chlorine gas to project there in the back to make it safer, how we process water and wastewater. And we can talk about developments too, but
there's
tend to have something happen, and then about 6 months later, something else happens. But absolutely,
right.
Doing that.
Of course. I would love to volunteer some time and work with Amelia if you're interested in having me around, Amelia, or if there's somebody else who wants to get involved with that.
No, I think it would be Amelia.
Yeah, I'm the one who put.
No, I know, but somebody from the board somebody from this committee probably to work together with her. Or is that?
I think we can start off with you and Amelia, and then I'm in the room. You know, we're all right there.
Great.
And we can see what it begins to look like. Mm-hmm.
I need a little time before we start this, and I think probably Amelia would like a little time too.
Nope.
But
we can target the pipeline.
Pardon me?
We can target the pipeline we produce for the August billing cycle.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
I'll work on it July 20th. The 20th, 21st, I'll work on it so it's done by the 23rd.
No, of August, Amelia. Not July, August.
Okay. So it's got to be done by the 23rd. So still the 19th, 20th right in there is when I start working on it.
For August?
Yeah, we'll make these changes when we do the work in August, Amelia. For this month, we'll just business as usual.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we have plenty of time.
Right, exactly.
Are we in the right place to discuss an issue or an article for the pipeline, or is that somewhere else, or do I do that at the end?
No, this is the perfect place, John.
Good. I want an article. Paul can help with this, I think. I want an article on the buoys. And
yes.
what I'd like to see us do, and I, you know, in a general way, is to let the ratepayers know, first of all, why the buoys were important, and we can have a brief discussion on manganese and the aeration problems and the rubber pipes on the bottom of the lake and the fish hooks and the anchors. And what I'd like to do is make everybody aware of how much time and money we've spent in implementing this process and why it was important that we did it, and why it's important that our residents understand that it's no longer a good idea to keep destroying the district's property. And if you take my old analogy of the 2,800 or so ratepayers, and you divide those costs that we've invested in this to this point, plus the costs that we're going to invest in it to fix it, and then subsequently to secure it and protect it, you know exactly what everybody's share of that little project is. Because, you know, I was quite surprised it took them as long as it did to destroy it the first time. I was not surprised that they destroyed it again. And even after we camerize it and do what we're going to do to protect it, I'm sure that it'll get destroyed again. I just like everybody to be really aware of what's going on, because quite frankly, it's been pissing me off. I mean, you know, everybody yells and screams when we get yellow water. And that aeration is critical to the manganese issue, not magnesium, but manganese. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't really know what we do about it other than keep fixing it. But I'd like to at least make sure everybody who pays the bills is aware of how much it's costing us.
I couldn't agree more, John. I was just livid when I saw that again. And listen to the people complain about the budget, and then we have community members who go out and do things that cost us more money. It's absurd. And whatever we can do to alert the community to the fact that you're paying for this, and involve them in letting people know, you know, we're the ad hoc committee that we're going to be working on is going to take up some of these issues, but it needs to be done now. I mean, people need to be alerted to the fact that this just can't continue to go on. This is property that is expensive and needs to be done. And it's like they don't make the connection. So we have to make it for them. And I couldn't agree more, John.
So maybe we can think about how we do that, and get something into that pipeline for the next edition.
I agree, John. This is Tom. We will make that a priority and put something in the pipeline this month.
I mean, we can point out that I did some research and I could not find any evidence of a constitutional right to fish where you want, when you want. I don't think Thomas Jefferson had a fishing license. So, you know, I'm just frustrated by it. Among other things, you know, I'm still frustrated by the, you know, the Fido fetching sticks in the Calero Reservoir and people not cleaning up after their dog, and just the general ignorance that surrounds the fact that these are really reservoirs and those lakes as we call them were not put there for everyone's personal pleasure. We have that benefit. And it certainly is a huge community asset, but that's not why they're there. And I think this whole buoy thing is just an extension of, you know, that lack of understanding and that sense of entitlement that seems to surround that property out there and who has the right to do what with it. So let's see if we can't put something together on that. Okay. We can move on to the outreach and technology items, the quarterly update, item 5.
Yeah, this is me. This is Tom Hennig. Amelia, go down to item number, I think about 10.
Oh. I'm happy to say completed. Yay, district.
Yeah, we've had a lot of projects that we identified a year or so ago that we have completed. Item number 10 is the document management system. And we do have a student intern currently continuing to scan escrow files into the system. And the beautiful part of this is at 50%, we're not in a position, so our field worker, our field staff and operations Paul staff can we're ordering iPads for them, and they soon will be able to pull up schematics and historical permits and stuff on properties when they're in the field, which eliminates them having to come back to the office to pull files or have, you know, Tanya or someone go pull files and, you know, read them for them. So I'm really happy about this. The system is working well, and it's nice to finally get it into the field. The number 12... I guess the number, I forgot to fix the numbering on this, didn't I? Number 12, we are about to wrap up our inter-office SharePoint SharePoint project. We are in the process of doing final training next week. And we're making a full conversion to using SharePoint as our primary source of interoffice communication. So that's a nice deal. We continue to work with going down to 14 and 15. We continue to work with our improving our accounting systems. Paul is working to enhance the maintenance management system we have today. We thought about going out to bid to replace it, and we opted to focus more on what the system we currently have and crawl along with it. And the other items are just research items. So, and then of course the last item is the automated HR and payroll. That project is closed, and we are fully automated with our timekeeping and payroll system. So is there any questions on the
general?
Okay, moving on. We have
you had a question there, Tom.
Okay, sorry.
Actually, not so much a question, but just a few comments. On the first page, the Autocracy Network domain name change. It was great. They explained it and it was difficult, et cetera. But what was the name change to? Do we know, or can we say what it was?
We call it domain at RMCSD.
Okay.
It has a very generic name, which is acceptable.
Yes. Yes. I don't know where to put it so that we know that that's a name change, but it's somewhere in there. That's what it was changed to.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
We can update the completed file that in that way. We'll fix that one.
Right. Right. Okay. The other thing I love seeing this stuff. This is great. I was wondering how maybe we could bring people up to date. They always wonder what we're doing. And actually we're doing a lot. And so I'm thinking that the residents might be interested in knowing that we've completed X number of projects and that we continue to work on X number of projects and what they are. Some way, again, put it in the pipeline. We could possibly do something online with this. I don't know exactly how you might want to do it, but I'm constantly trying to figure out ways, we all are, I guess, to get the community interested and to address the complaints when they happen about not having information and not knowing what, this, that, and the other thing. It's all here. We just have to give it to them as much as possible. So first of all, we were going to change the name, I think, from technology to initiatives to projects. Is that still something we could do?
We can do that.
Okay. I don't know if we could think about how we might be able to coordinate this with information in the pipeline. It's something you and I could talk about, Amelia. Does anybody object to that?
Nope. These minor changes are easy to accommodate.
Great.
Yeah, and the Mac users appreciate your movement to SharePoint from OneDrive.
We move on to the field operations.
Maybe it would be the most, the best way to communicate this whole thing, because there's so much information here with the community, if I put a tab on the website.
That'd be great.
Like I could put it up, here, I'll show you the website. I could put it under district info. I could put another bullet here of something like district projects.
Right.
Can you pull that information from my my staff reports for that I put in the board packet, if you would like.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Tom, there's one thing you could add to the bottom of this list that we could investigate, and it's nothing we need to jump on. I've always wondered what we could do about the search capability of the website. I probably use it a lot more than most people, other than you folks that are physically working there on a day-to-day basis. And it's hard to find stuff. If you pick up something in the search, it will take you back at some point to a list of 2018 meetings, and then you have to go through up to 12 of them to hopefully, and it doesn't always work, find what they're referencing in the piles of documents that relate back to the packets from every meeting. Could we maybe at some point just have a general discussion about what that thing can and can't do, and then maybe talk about what we could do to enhance it?
John, we buy a subscription with a company that has websites for a lot of special districts. We can look and see what they have for enhanced searching, but our hands are kind of tied to just being using their system. We will definitely look into it.
I just like to see if there's a way we could do more of a refined search. Because a lot of times even when you get a hit through the search capability, it's almost impossible to go back to or find the place that they're even referencing. I mean, you just wind up at a dead end.
There may be some special characters and such that Streamline can tell us can be used.
Okay.
Searching their system. So we'll research the search function.
Yeah, I'll reach out to Streamline. They're over there, very helpful and very accommodating. So I'll see if they don't have some information on making the searches easier.
Okay.
I feel your frustration, John.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard to find stuff.
It takes you to, 7,000 documents, anything that has that keyword that you're looking for. Wait a minute, I don't care what happened in 2005. I mean, I do care what happened in 2005, but come on, I need last month.
Yeah, I just an example, what I used it for most recently was on that whole buoy issue. I did want to go back and find, and I couldn't remember specifically, it's not all that long ago, but where, what month we did it in. And, you start researching it through those keywords, and it took me a long time to isolate the initial packet information that we had that showed us, why we were doing it and Paul's quotes and how much it costs and all that other stuff.
We will report back with what we discovered.
You can always just reach out to me, and I'll just email it to you and get you there.
Okay.
Because I'm so involved in the documents that it's totally cool to call me up and I'll get it to you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay.
Moving down to the field operations initiatives. Paul's available if anybody has any questions. Okay.
So you want to move on to Code Red here?
Yeah. Gail had a nice article in the River Valley Times this month on Code Red. Thank you, Gail. Okay, Amelia.
Hi. Would you like me to talk about the Code Red system?
Yes.
Code Red is an emergency notification system. The district subscribes to this system in order to be notified, a resident, and it doesn't have to be somebody who lives here. It can be your grandmother on the other side of town, your mom, right, your kids. So anybody can sign up for the system. They have to enter a street address. The street address goes back to when somebody from the district puts a message out to everybody who signed up for Code Red. We only use it for emergencies. Emergencies, of course, there's a list there of the things that we would actually use it for. The last time that it was used was last year, and on the next page I have the statistics. On the 25th of October in 2019, this is when the elderly gentleman went missing, and Jeff had the sheriff's involved. The sheriff department instructed him to send out the emergency alert. We can use text, emails, phone calls, and TDD, which is for the hearing impaired, that gives them that written message. 6,590 phone calls were made. 6,590 numbers, attempting calls 9,500, and numbers reached were 4,743. So it'll keep calling the phone number back until somebody answers the phone or it gets a voicemail to leave a message. There are two different systems that we have available to us at the district. This is one. Reverse 911 is the other. You can sign up for either of these right here on the website. On the main page, there are links to both of them, Code Red and the alert. The Code Red is just stuff in Rancho Murrieta. I can pick one street to send an alert out to. The alert 911, that's everything in Sacramento County. So if people want to know what's happening in Sacramento County, they need to sign up for the alert 911. They're both free systems, but they don't tell what the other one's saying.
They're not married, in other words.
They're not married. Yeah, if you sign up for Code Red, you're not going to get the alerts for Sacramento County. You're just going to get the alerts that we send out for Code Red. And some districts will tell their people everything, like SMUD, for example. When we all get our SMUD message that says your power's off, your power's back on, we've decided at the district that that's not how we want to use this system. We want it to be for actual emergencies. So that's why we don't use it very often.
Are you ready for questions?
I'm ready for questions.
Okay. It's free, sort of. But we do pay for a subscription, right?
Linda, this is Tom Hennig. Yes, we do. We pay $5,000 a year.
That's what I was wondering, how much?
And it is charged to our security and water budgets equally.
Security and water, okay. And the other county program, I think we really need to start emphasizing the importance of having that program, both programs. And that's also free, and I think we probably pay for it in our taxes or someplace like that. Is that a good way to put it or observe it?
Yeah, I don't know. I know I signed up on that recently, and I also signed up for Placer County at the same time because it looks to be a multi-county system that you just pick. Mm-hmm. And choose which counties you want to get noticed for.
And do we have something on the pipeline coming up soon about how to sign up for the county program?
We can put that in there. I'm sure we put it in there before. We'll find it and put it in again.
Yeah, because I think, like I said, the Grantline fire and some of the other recent fires, people weren't notified. They were wondering what was going on, lots of fire sirens, et cetera, and there was no evacuation, fortunately, but everybody should have that to be comfortable with their own safety. And so I think things that happen outside of Rancho Murrieta could very easily affect us in a minute. So I'd like us to encourage people to do that, to sign up for that one.
Okay, I'll put an article in the pipeline about both systems, what they do, and encourage people to sign up for not only ours, but the
and give them the information of how they need to sign up, how to sign up, you know.
Okay.
Thanks. I need that for myself.
Okay. Oh, and then
tell me how to do it. Tell me how to do it, please.
When you come in again, Linda, I'll help you sign up. And Mamie at the front desk and I have both been trained on how to get people signed up initially. And I have the ability.
Great.
So if somebody's having problems in the community, they're getting too many messages, they want to unsign themselves up, they want to change their phone number or their information, I have the ability to do that for them here.
Great. Fantastic.
Any other questions?
Do we move on to the next item?
I'm ready.
COVID-19 communications plan.
So I can speak to this. We're basically in the same holding pattern we've been in since March, and everybody watches the news, and the more and more people are getting infected by COVID every day, and the numbers are not going in the right direction. So we continue to, if our staff are able to work from home and get their work done, we continue to do that. We pretty much have people in the office every day because there are certain things that are fairly manual, especially when it comes to receiving checks and basically picking up the phone to help residents ask questions. But so far, we have no lock-offs. We are not charging delinquency fees or late fees for non-paid utility bills. And interestingly enough, we still have not signed a single pay agreement, but we are seeing that accounts are going delinquent more and more as this continues on. So I think, you know, people recognize that they choose not to pay this bill, they're not going to be fined for it. So I think eventually we'll start seeing some big numbers in our aging report. So we're going to call that out a little bit in the finance report this month.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tom, that's something from a finance committee standpoint we probably want to start to track so that we're looking at it once a month. I mean, if our aging is starting to go south, we want to keep up with that.
And are we reaching out to these people?
The ones with the high balances.
Yeah, delinquents. Yeah.
No, we don't do that. We only do that when it comes time, you know, if we were charging delinquency fees and stuff, then we'd start having to look at lockoffs. But under the state order, we can't lock off people's water, and we can't charge fines for non-payment of the bills right now.
But
we could.
Go ahead, Linda.
Go ahead. Now, I was just going to say, we could reach out and say we noticed, you know, that you seem to be having some trouble. Can we do anything to help?
Okay, we can look at them and find out what kind of rationale we can use to reach out. I guess we could call them up and say, you haven't paid your bill in 3 months. Would you like to enter a pay agreement to help lighten the burden?
Right.
We can look at the high dollar accounts and see about that. Now, it continues the largest ones, and this is a finance committee discussion, but the largest ones are still the large development, undeveloped property.
Right, I was going to say, right.
And those will end up going over to the county on the tax rolls in August. So, and that's the, you know, in the county, I don't know if the county continues to charge fines or not, but I'm guessing they do.
Oh, yeah, they do. It's the interest and the penalties are really, really up there. That's why they're more than happy to carry 5% of their aging, their receivables through Teeter, because number one, they know at some day or time it will get paid. And number two, you know, it's the return on that 5% that they hold out there is astronomical. So yeah, it's a good financial decision on their part to do it.
And then last but not least, we're just about ready with our go back to work plan in the office. And when we do get the ability, when the governor does change, or the health department in Sac County does change the rule, we'll be able to open up, but it's going to be very limited access. I believe we're going to have a one person in the lobby at a time policy, or if there's two people from the same household who have questions, we may, if there becomes a problem or if people would like, we'll schedule appointments. But we have our sneeze guards up. We have our hand sanitizers purchased and being installed. We have, you know, the general stuff, the masks, the gloves, the wipe down materials. We are constantly going around the office, wiping door handles and stuff. And we'll do the same for the public area. Now, I have no idea when we're going to be able to open up the boardroom again. The order is still groups of 12 or less. And so, you know, we have had some one-on-one meeting, you know, some small meetings in the office, once or twice a week, but they're very, very regimented with masks and social distancing.
And the open air meetings are usually on my back porch.
Yeah.
I have one thing. At some point, Tom, we could maybe have a discussion. I was thinking about this the other day, that what would be the reason, even when we get to stage four and we get the clearance to open the building, is there some good reason we wouldn't continue to have committee meetings on Zoom, as opposed to going to the office to have them at all? Number one, would it perhaps encourage more public participation? And the only exception I thought through on that would be perhaps, and more I think from a improvements committee standpoint than anything else, you know, where you want to hang a giant map on the wall, or you want to go through some sophisticated document or something, maybe those are really enhanced by an in-person meeting. But most of what we do, I'm not sure, isn't done just as effectively over Zoom. I mean, I can't see any reason to bring a whole bunch of people in our office to do what we're doing here today. It's just at some point, maybe it's a discussion we should have, that maybe it actually, in some respects, enhances what we do or enhances public outreach as opposed to stifling it.
John,
go ahead, Linda.
Okay. I'm a person who likes to be face to face with, with the group or committee or whatever it is that we're working on, especially if you have, things that you want to share as far as handouts or that map on the wall or whatever. But I think that what we've discovered is that the community is more responsive to calling in. And so is there some way we could do both? If we're having a committee meeting or a general meeting or whatever, can we also make it possible for people to call in via Zoom? Would that be too crazy?
I think what we're going to see is the trending in the industry will help us answer those questions. You know, okay. I think it's a good idea to continue using Zoom because we do have the ability for people to participate. At times we need to control participation a little bit better than we do through muting and hand raising. But I definitely think that it's worth paying attention to see what the rest of the industry is doing relative to the public meetings.
In addition to that, on like right now, I have 13 people on this Zoom meeting. I think I had 18 people on the improvements committee meeting. I can easily have 30 people on our regular board meeting. So that is at least double what comes here. So I think that Zoom is an incredible tool to reach out to more people in the community and get them involved. And that's what this committee is all about, is involving people from the community and communicating with them. So I would love to keep doing Zoom meetings when we're back in person. There's no reason I can't do exactly what I'm doing here when we're in person.
So, okay. Well, it's something, you know, we don't have to solve today. It's just something I think that down the road, maybe it's worthy of a discussion. It doesn't sound like anytime soon we're going to have a choice, so we can just keep doing what we're doing. And I would assume that we seem to be getting better at it, especially after that first thing we did, the very first time we did it, with all the barking dogs and fighting kids and all that other stuff. But, you know, I do only from a standpoint, especially I wouldn't presume to do that for an actual board meeting. I think those definitely should be in person. Like Amelia said, it has really attracted more people or engaged more people in what we do, because not everybody can just drop something from their schedule for 2 hours and wander over to our building to listen to a communications meeting, but they can certainly multitask and listen to the meeting and do other things. So, all right, well, at some point let's talk about it, reassess where we are when we get further down the line.
Okay. That being said, is there any other questions related to this item?
Okay, item 8, update on reservoir education and signage ad hoc committee.
Hello? Hello? Trying to raise my hand.
Oh, hi.
Go ahead, Richard.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to make a comment on the Zoom meetings. There are limitations within the Brown Act that prior to the pandemic, Zoom meetings would not have been allowed. And I think they modified it specifically during the pandemic to allow them. And I think once the pandemic's over and once in-person meetings are allowed, that the Brown Act will prevent you from doing them as Zoom meetings. I like the Zoom meetings, but the Brown Act, I think, is a limitation.
I think you're going to see, Richard, a lot of transition both in government and private industry as a result of what's happened here. I mean, there are assembly driven extensions that can allow it to continue to happen until they can put modifications to the Brown Act in place. And I'm sure we're not going to be the only people that are lobbying for that. So, you know, I agree. It may be something we have no control over, but I'm not really sure of that anymore. Okay. Item 8, Linda, is this you?
Hi, Dale. Well, it's you and me. this is the ad hoc committee. We've met once, and we ran into a lot of questions about how we were supposed to do this. And so we've gotten answers to those questions, and I have put together a basic presentation. I think I emailed it to everybody. If you have it in front of you, that would be great, because I'm just going to go through this for a couple minutes and see if anybody has any questions or anything they want to include. It did evolve from the Communications Committee and Board of Director John Merchant's idea of educating the community residents about the purpose and use of our reservoirs, also known as Lake Clementia, Lake Calero, and Lake Chesbro. Very appropriate given some of the things we were talking about earlier. John's proposal included signage at to be determined locations around the reservoirs. So the committee purpose is to gather and review information relating to the health and quality of the reservoir water, to use that information to educate our residents and their guests, to reevaluate and reinforce existing rules and restrictions, and to determine any additional actions necessary to protect and improve the quality of our water. And this is just a few statements. Ad hoc committees have a limited scope, time period, and number of committee members, depending on quorums. They are, however, able to use other community members, groups, and residents, and when necessary, may seek help from volunteer experts. The committee, at the end of approximately 6 months, will present a report to the full board and general manager. Any requests for actions on the results must be taken up with the full board. So the ad hoc committee can get together and we can come up with all kinds of ideas and suggestions, but all of those have to be presented to the full board. Okay, right now the committee consists of Paul, RMCSD advisor and secretary, Linda Butler, chairman and coordinator, John Merchant, signage and history, and Joanne Brandt has joined us as the RMA advisor. Additional help and service will be sought when necessary as the committee assumes their task. The topics that we're going to be dealing with are signage, locations, cost, et cetera. RMA signs are in need of some updating. Additional signage to include education on the importance of protecting the community source of supply for drinking water and cooking and bathing, et cetera. Recreation and reservoirs, invasive species, body contact, humans and pets, the water code, and then fishing and boats. Under wildlife, we have environmental factors and bacteria, which is a big question, as well as chemicals, drainage, water storage, flow and pumping, development, history and safety, and property ownership to and around reservoirs. So it's a big list of projects issues that we want to develop and go through, but a lot of these are interrelated and with help, the issues or the topics will actually come together as and help us figure out where to start and how to proceed. I did want to ask Jeff, if you could, I know we keep track of all the incidents that happen within Rancho Murrieta. If there is some way to pull up anything that happens out around the water, people swimming, dogs in the water, fishing where you're not supposed to, et cetera, et cetera. Can we start identifying those, and can you make up some kind of small report about that? Is that possible?
I'd have to look at the system as far as researching or going back, from this point forward. Yes, I can pull out any calls that are on the log in and around the lake.
If we could start when, May, when we started putting this committee together, that'd be great.
I can go back and start pulling in May.
Okay. And you could just email that to me like once a month or every couple weeks or whatever.
Sure.
Okay, great. Does anybody have any questions, comments, things they like, things they don't like?
I have one comment. This is Amelia. I have posted this on the website under committee meeting. So if anybody wants to go your document, Linda, the draft is up there.
Okay. And what is it under?
It's under committee meetings. This meeting. Okay. Update on number 8.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So we all agree that this is something we want to do.
Looks good.
I think we already did that. It was just a matter of refining what the structure looked like.
Did we miss anything?
I think there's plenty in there.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Thank you so much, all of you, for your help.
Okay. We there we go. The director and staff comments. How about staff? Paul?
Yes. In regards to your request about providing information for the aeration system in Chesbro, I did put something on the website a few weeks back with Amelia. You do have to, unfortunately, search for it under the water section. Maybe for a short period, we can post something up on our rotating slideshow, as this is a hot topic, as well as maybe get with RMA to post some signage out at the boat ramp to please do not cut the buoy lines and put some education information there so we don't have to deal with any damage.
Oh, it is buried pretty bad. I will I'll put this.
There you go. Yeah.
I'll make another link for this.
And I'll work on blowing that up to a larger size so it's a little clearer. I think I have too much information on that.
Buoys at Chesbro on here.
I think the real essence of what we want to say without getting into the science is I think we want people to know, you know, why it is so important that, you know, we protect that aeration system. You know, it's not just that we just decided that, you know, this is the outlet down to the water plant for the water and we didn't want anything going on around it. I mean, it serves a very critical purpose and, you know, I don't know whether that stops anybody from cutting the buoys because they want to fish in there, but we can at least try.
And also in the pipeline, do we have anything planned for the pipeline?
We have been posting stuff in the pipeline already for the buoys, but we'll call it out even.
Yeah, I realize that, but as John was discussing earlier, I think that the seriousness of the issue and the reasons not to mess with it and all that sort of stuff. We're talking about putting an article probably in RVT, right? And so that should also be covered in the pipeline.
And it is, we do have this buoy alert on the slideshow. Can you guys see my?
Yeah, it's there. Yeah, got it.
Yeah. So it's here too.
What I'm suggesting is that whatever John spoke to the issue earlier, and there's a lot of information that they may not be connecting up with, like how much it's costing them to have people doing this, et cetera.
This is Paul. I'm just going to edit that sheet that I provided there for the website and put in large red letters that damaging this system may turn the community's water yellow.
That was my point. I mean, they get that. We've been down that road, and what we uncovered in the investigation is what led to what we're doing now. I'm hoping that we can generate some self-policing, you know, with the amount of people we now have using the recreational aspects of the reservoirs. You know, we have a lot more eyes on this thing than we used to, and if we could just encourage people to just say something, it would be a help. I don't hesitate to do it. I can't tell you how many people I've, you know, encouraged to please take Fido out of the water. It's really cute when he goes to get the stick, but you know, it is our drinking water. And we need to encourage more of that until we get forced into doing something we don't want to do and we get a giant uproar because we're fencing off more stuff or we're restricting more activities because we've run out of ways to prevent, you know, violation of the no contact rule. So, you know, that's the idea here. Any other comments, Tom? Anything?
No, I'm good.
Amelia, I'm good. Anything else? Linda?
Yeah, the only thing I just can't emphasize enough that people are not always very cooperative, and the more information you can tell them, in other words, the more emphasis you can place on, this is going to affect you directly, you know, by increases in your bills every time you, you know, damage the system. You want to know how to save money? You know, I bet you when we, if we do that breakdown, I bet it would cost about $6 per person, maybe more. So anyway, I'm feeling strongly that it's time not to be quite so nice. I think people just really need a wake-up call. And I like the points that John made.
Anything else before we move to my favorite item, number 10? Okay, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Thank you.